Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
Is Northwestern Medicine BP? Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Morse.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Fine. How's your weekend?
Hey, anybody complains about this weekend, then as I was telling Mike, we need to have them see a psychiatrist. I mean, it's those 2 days back-to-back, we finally got what we deserved on a weekend.
But it was, and I'm not saying anybody should complain, but it was a mid-April, even an early April kind of break. It's just because the weather has sucked so badly that we felt like we won the lottery.
Yeah.
So. Just an out of context plug here for the Evans Scholars. I was talking to some people at White Eagle Golf Club this weekend about supporting the Evans Scholars. You are an Evans Scholar.
Yep.
And you would not have been able to become a doctor without the help that they gave you to pay your way through college. So it's a great thing. And it's not too late for your kid to become a caddy. Why is a caddy a good job?
You know, Steve, it's interesting. I'm actually going to. You'll laugh when I say it, but I'm actually writing a book about caddying.
Oh, that's great.
You know, I've been to undergrad, you know, fortunately through the Evans Scholarship, I was very fortunate. I went to medical school, and I did my residency, and I went to Notre Dame and got an MBA. And I can tell you that I learned a lot more in caddy years than I did in all those other years, just about how you treat people, what you do in life, how you're organized, how you show up to work on time, how, you know, there's just so many life lessons there. And it's a great way to earn some money as well. But, yeah, our family was very fortunate. My brother Brad and I both received Evans scholarships. He unfortunately wasn't as smart as I and had to go to Missouri, but it was very nice that the Evans honored both of us.
Kansas and Missouri, big fans of each other, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just another Melanoma Monday. Remember that Bengals song?
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a second. But before we do that, it's Nurses Week. And that's a big deal because we pause at least for a moment to thank nurses if they'll stop working for a second so we can thank them.
Absolutely. You know, first, any nurses that are listening, you know, this is a sincere thank you to everything you do. You know, we should do this every single day. But let's make sure this week, if you know a nurse, if you know of a nurse, if you see a nurse, if you're in the doctor's office, make sure you thank them. You know, they're the unsung heroes often of healthcare, and it's amazing when you think about the knowledge base. I was just thinking about it last night. You think about these nurses take care of newborns. They take care of people that are 105 years old. They take care of people that had strokes. They take care of people that had heart attacks. They take care of people that have surgery. They take care of people that have pneumonia. Their knowledge base, not only for how to treat patients, but the medications and the social aspects of it, is huge. And we should really make sure we just say thank you very much for everything they do.
Well, and you mentioned a therapist. I mean, who's more of a therapist than a nurse? To the patient that's in the bed, to the family that's visiting the patient, to the doctor who is about to walk in the room.
I mean, think about it. You know, the doctors, we make rounds at the hospital when you're a doctor, and you're in the room maybe for 15, 20 minutes. The nurses are in there every hour to check on you. So from a therapist point of view, they are. They're the cheerleaders. They're the ones saying, you know what, you're turning the corner. You're getting better. They're answering the questions for the patients that they forgot when the doctor was there that they wanted to know something. So I can't say enough of them. You know how much I love them and what they do. And they deserve more than a week, even though doctors only get a day. But nurses deserve more than a week, and we should really make sure we thank them every single day.
Amen, Dr. Most. Nurses are the best. They are the best.
Karen
up your
Romano.
Mom. Yeah, nurse Karen Romano.
Yeah.
Great job.
Sucking up your mom. Yeah,
the best. Yeah, Joe, so I hope you know, sent your mom some flowers, or at least make sure you get out to see her and give her a big hug.
Oh, yeah, they're on the way. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Well, tomorrow's Joe's birthday, so he's waiting for stuff for him.
And then he's got Mother's Day this weekend.
Yes,
you know.
There's a lot going on.
I don't know if you guys saw over the weekend, there was this trending thing, what nurses wear, on social media, because a woman who's a nurse.
Well, hold on a second. What site were you on?
Twitter.
What nurses wear.
Yeah, because it was this woman ran the London Marathon.
Oh, okay.
And she's a nurse, and she was wearing her scrubs. And the Guinness Book of World Records, she was the fastest person to do it in nurse's gear, which is a thing that they
That's
do there.
That's pretty funny.
Except for they didn't qualify her because it wasn't a nurse's dress. She was wearing scrubs. And so it started a thing where all these women were posting what they wear as nurses,
right.
which are plain clothes, yep. scrubs, and things. The dress is a very outdated.
Of course it is. You know,
so.
And the scrubs aren't any more aerodynamic. You yeah, still have to right. be an athlete.
And she ran it in 3 hours and 5 minutes, so, and she's a nurse.
In scrubs?
Yep.
Wow.
It was
wow.
like making news over the weekend.
It's pretty wild.
You make a good point, Mary. You know, we think of nurses, unfortunately, some people still think of nurses with hats on and dresses, and that's so inappropriate. But nurses have so many opportunities for employment. I mean, we have nurses that work for insurance companies now. We have nurses that are in the health department. We have nurses that work for companies privately.
Great
we have
growth nurses area.
It is. It is a huge opportunity for anybody who wants to consider getting into healthcare. And the other thing we got to be very careful about, this is not sexist. We have a lot of great male nurses.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great male nurses here at CDH. So let's not just pocket them all and say it's a girl's job or it's a female's job. It's a great occupation.
And a couple of years ago when I was in the hospital at CDH, your staff was, I don't want to use a technical term here, but they kicked ass.
Yeah.
And that's a medical term, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go any further, Doc, the website for the Evans Scholars is probably the best place to go is the Western Golf Association website, I guess.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, WGIESF. Yeah, if you look at those two, you can go and get a lot of information. And you're right. I'm telling you, the kids that are out there right now, that you if you have kids at home that are 12, 13, 14 years old, and you're trying to figure out what they're going to do this summer, it's a great opportunity for them to go out, get some exercise, learn a lot about life, learn a lot about a cool game, and learn some money management as well.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not the 70s when Doc and I grew up, but it is still appropriate for you as a golfer to treat your caddy with respect. If the caddy's not doing his job, certainly provide them some lessons and advice and things of that nature, but don't be a jerk golfer.
Don't be a jerk golfer, and again, this is another one of those, we have as many female caddies as we have male caddies right now. So this is a job opportunity for other ones. The days when you and I caddied, Steve, in those Burton bags that weighed 30 pounds, you know, now we're down to bags that are weighing 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
So anybody can do it, even small kids.
And what was the best? Double bagging for a hooker and a slicer. And if you don't know
yep.
what that means, it's not a joke. All right, and one more. I'm a blind individual, lost sight due to retinitis pigmentosa. I love golf, but I have trouble finding a caddy. Is there any place you can do that where you find caddies for people that are sight impaired?
Yeah, and there's a lot of public courses right now, actually, that are doing that are allowing caddies. If you look at courses like Cantini and the Village Links, you know, they have a caddy program now at a lot of the public courses. And I would bet that if we lined up that individual with a caddy, any course he went to, they would allow them that individual to caddy, even if they didn't have a caddy program.
I'm not sure if this person wants to play or find a caddy. No, it says find a caddy. So they
yeah.
want a caddy to help them play.
Correct.
Is there somebody that specializes in that, or can you just a great caddy could take care of anybody who's blind or sight impaired?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's probably one of the greatest things about caddying is that individual who hits the ball and says, where did it go? And as a caddy, you have the pride in your voice to say, I know where it's at. Let's go. We're going to go get it. And then you line them up for their next shot off, and because sometimes they can't even see the flag.
Sure.
So it's like, aim a little left, aim a little mm-hmm. right. So very rewarding when you have somebody who is vision impaired.
And I hit so many bad shots, I know exactly from feel which way it went.
Correct.
There's another snap hook. We'll come back with Melanoma Monday, how to protect yourself because the sun will eventually shine for more than 24 hours. Back to Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here, Doc. Happy Mother's Day to your mom, since I'm not going to be talking to you before Mother's Day on the air.
Yeah, that's very nice of you. So I was going to do it next Monday, but that's very nice to reach out. And happy Mother's Day to your mother as well.
I took her to see Paul Reiser Friday night.
Yeah.
I've never seen her laugh that hard. So
Paul,
I'm going,
very
I'm going,
funny.
So I'm going, should I enjoy the fact that she's laughing this hard and really having a good time? Or should I be a little bitter that she's never laughed this hard at me?
I was just going to say, from a stand-up comedian's point of view, I think you probably let her get an Uber to go home, huh?
She explained it once before where, since she never had to watch me pitch Little League, she said, it's like that. It's mm-hmm. like watching you pitch Little League when you're doing stand-up. I'm just waiting for you to tank. So, but Reiser was great.
She's hilarious herself.
Very funny. All right, Melanoma Monday. What do we need to know?
Yeah, Melanoma Monday, you know, it's the first Monday in May. The American Academy of Dermatology does such a great job of raising awareness for us for melanoma. You know, if you remember last year, their tagline was protect your selfie. You know, this year is it's do you use protection? And, you know, you say, well, why would they use taglines like that? And here's one of the scariest facts. This is the second most common form of cancer in females aged 15 to 29. So what the American Academy of Dermatology is trying to say, hey, we need to get these kids and we need to get these younger adults aware that sun is not healthy. Tanning is not healthy. We need to protect our skin. It's probably the most important organ that we have. And they try to make this Monday the awareness day of prevention and observation and how to identify melanomas.
We tried to talk to our former boss about this, Stephanie, beautiful girl, and she was a tanning type.
Well, yep. She gets a spray tan.
Yeah, but spray tans, are they really healthy?
Tans are much better than going out there and actually getting the tan.
I'm just trying to fire Doc up the way
they don't. They don't provide a barrier to the sun.
Correct.
Though.
Okay.
That's where people get into trouble. We were just at a funeral this fall for a young lady who was 36 who passed away from melanoma.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yes, and it was a horrible 7-year battle. That is just it's silly. Not that she was silly, but it's silly not to take care of your skin.
10,000 deaths a year from melanoma, and melanoma rates doubled in the last 35 years. Do we know why?
Yeah, because think about it. 35 years ago, we were going to the beach and putting oil on, you know, and staying out in the sun as much as you did. You know, think about you and I were young.
As it developed, I got you.
Yeah. When you and I were young, we didn't put on sunblock.
No.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, I'm from the tanning bed group. I'm 43, and we were started doing tanning bed 15, 16, 17, 18 until I was 30-ish. And what's weird is that kids now, we know that it's so bad, and they're still doing it. That it's scary that they're still allowed to be out there.
Well, when you're a kid, you think it's not going to happen to me.
Right, but I think they were newer when I was young.
Yeah, okay.
They were, but now we know, like cigarettes, you know, when they were new, you're like, didn't know for sure if they cause cancer except for the people selling them to you. But now, the tanning beds, how are they still even around?
Yeah, believe me, if it was up to me, they wouldn't be. But and we have to realize that we're talking about skin cancer. People say, well, okay, only 10,000 people, I'm not going to be that. You have to remember, too, that it really ages your skin as well, and it gives you wrinkles, and it makes your skin look bad. You might think you have this healthy tan when you're young. You're doing damage to your skin that's going to last with you forever.
Wait, telling me. I mean, I'm 31.
Yep.
Look what happened to me. When I see a UVA rating, a rays rating, if you will, on my weather app, is that dependable?
Yeah, it really is, you know, and that's, you know, people often will say, well, you know, what should I wear as far as SPF, you know, and really it comes down to that UVA rating and what's going on in the sun today, you know, and just for SPF, you know, it's a sun protection factor, and it's based on if you went out in the day without any, a day like today, without any protection at all, how long would it take you to burn? And let's say that was 10 minutes. So you take that and you multiply it by the SPF to get how much time you'd have protection from that lotion.
Oh, so like a 30 would give you 300 minutes or 5 hours.
Correct. And since we always say we want you to reapply to 2 hours, I always tell people, you get a 30, 32, 35, and you reapply it appropriately, you are perfect. You don't need the 70s, you don't need the 50s, but, you know, a good 35, a good 30, as long as you're going to remember to reapply it, is probably perfect for you.
My husband and I have both had skin cancer removed. My husband had 30% of his lip. He had the Mohs procedure, you know, cut out, and because we didn't have the kind of cancer that turns to melanoma, but we had the disfiguring kind where you had to have things cut out. When we go on vacation, we go to Mexico a lot. We spend the entire time, all we do is apply sunscreen. We like it's just all we do. We lay
there. You don't have to do it over and over again.
But that's what we do. We're paranoid, and so when people say, "What do you do all day?" We lay at the pool and apply sunscreen, literally the whole day. That's all we do.
By the way, in defense of your husband, you didn't finish the story. He's a very handsome man who has his lip back.
He did, yeah. They did amazing plastic surgery.
Got that from Amazon, didn't you?
Yeah,
the replacement lip?
He did, absolutely. Yeah.
But Mary, you do mention one thing that I want to say is really important. And Steve and I actually share the same dermatologist, Dr. Ashish Bhatia, who is
a
phenomenal dermatologist. You know, he tells you the first thing you do after you dry yourself after getting out of the shower every single day of the year is you put on sunblock. So One, we should be wearing it even in the winter, even though we're talking about it in May, because we do get sun exposure. But probably the most important thing is people. You'll see people on the golf course putting it on the first tee. Yep. You'll see people at the beach putting it on. It takes 30 minutes to work. So you have to make sure that you're putting it on early. And matter of fact, you should really make sure that you're putting it on every day after you get out of the shower.
The reflective rays from the sun, as you're driving on a, you know, in a polar vortex in the wintertime, you're getting sun exposure.
I mean, absolutely. Reflection off the snow, reflection off the sand, if you're at the beach, you're getting a lot of sun exposure.
What about kids?
Kids, you really have to be careful. You know, under the age of two, they should even be, they should have very minimal sun exposure. Make sure they have appropriate clothing and make sure you protect them. You know, the cute kids in the floppy hats, kudos to the parents because they're protecting their ears, they're protecting the back of their neck, their face. But really, those are the kids that you should remember. Make sure you apply it and also use clothing that can cover as much of their skin as possible.
Best time to put sunblock on, you said before you leave, best time to reapply to remind people is when?
Yeah, every 2 hours. So, you know, right now, if you're playing golf, it's simple, right? You do it at the turn. If not, set your iPhone. Tell Siri to remind you in 2 hours. There's a lot of technology now. We have wearables that are going to remind you. It's going to beep on your phone. It's going to tell you that you've had too much sun exposure to get into the shade. So we have great opportunities there for it.
And there's wearable devices that show UV exposure. What about the UV clothes thing? Does that work?
Absolutely, it does. You know, anything that's going to block that, and, you know, the UV clothes is really hot right now because they make them lightweight, they make them wicking so that they're comfortable, and yet they're going to protect you, and then you don't have to reapply because you're wearing a barrier at that point.
Last word, the ABCs of melanoma are what?
Yeah, absolutely. Asymmetry. So look at the shape of it. Is if you cut it in half, would it look the same? We like moles that are very uniform. The border is irregular, not smooth. It's scalloped often and very irregular. The color of it. We like moles that are a certain color or a specific color and don't change. Melanomas are varying in colors and will change. D is for the diameter, bigger than a pencil eraser, and E is evolving. We like moles that don't change at all. Melanomas will continue to change. They'll change color, they'll change shape, and they'll change size.
It's Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Happy Nurses Week.
Yep, and hey, AAD.org and doyouuseprotection.org for great information on all types of skin diseases.
All right, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Dr. Kevin Moe.